From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi is visiting the US this weekend and will be joined by President Donald Trump at a rally in Houston, Texas, in front of tens of thousands of people. The Indian leader is notorious for his strongman tactics of promoting a fascist Hindu nationalism in India, a country that is home to millions of non-Hindus. But Trump has found common purpose with Modi, as has been his tendency, cozying up to the Indian PM at last month's G7 meeting in France. South Asian activists in Texas are gearing up for Modi's visit, ready to meet him with protests, drawing attention to his devastating policies. One of them is my guest, Sarah Phillips, an organizer with Azad Austin, which is a South Asian social justice organization. Sarah is also a student at the University of Texas at Austin. Welcome to the program, Sarah.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So first, explain for those among our American audience who just haven't followed Modi's trajectory as prime minister, what is your main concern with his leadership? What is the basis for the protests that you will be participating in over the weekend?
Sure. So when we originally heard that Modi would be coming and visiting Houston and drawing thousands of attendees. Our initial concern was just in general, the rhetoric and the kind of Hindu nationalism and extremism that his prime ministership and also him coming into power has definitely furthered. The rhetoric and the violence that he and his party and his supporters has exhibited and supported against religious minorities, as well as Dalits, as well as so many other groups in India, has been well documented and caused much concern for us. And then as things transpired in Kashmir, as the Indian government tightened control over the region and instituted the blockade, as we learned of many human rights violations in the Kashmir, we really started to talk about, how are we going to organize protests? Like, what is the reaction going to be in Texas, and how we can get people and folks out to demonstrate against Modi? Because our view is that not all Indians and not all South Asians support Modi. We know this, but we wanted to make it very, very clear that he is not welcome here and he's not representative of all Indians. We wanted to show the country and Modi himself that we weren't just going to be silent about the things that he's been doing.
The rally in Houston is taking place September 22nd on Sunday. And interestingly enough, on Thursday, the New York Times published an opinion piece by India's ambassador to the United States, Harsh Vardhan Shringla, entitled, "India is building a more prosperous Kashmir." In it, the ambassador says, "What Prime Minister Imran Khan of Pakistan finds difficult to accept is that the Kashmir region is now back on the road to progress and prosperity because the Indian government has repealed an anachronistic and temporary provision of law that has hindered development there." So they're casting the issue of Kashmir as a development issue, that India is going to be promising prosperity to this embattled state. And that's really been Modi's claim to power, hasn't it? He has promised Indians economic prosperity, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. And, we definitely see that rhetoric, not just from coming from India and the Indian ambassador and things like that, but we see it definitely furthered in our communities here. When you criticize Modi, the response that you get is, Modi has done X, Y, and Z for economic prosperity, like you're saying, or expanding business in the region, or bringing jobs and things like that. But we know, and this is the view that I have and that many others have, is that economic prosperity does not mean human rights violations, right? Kashmiris have the right to self-determination, and the Indian government is not allowing for that and is really, really not allowing for Kashmiris to speak for themselves, to even have contact with the outside world. And that's very worrying to us. Also, you know, this rhetoric around development in areas like this, you know, that we know that that's the rhetoric of occupation. You know, if you talk about development and, you know, get people to support you based on, you know, economic development, that's just the rhetoric around, you know, exploiting the region, tightening control over it, and really for the interest of the Indian government and not for folks in Kashmir.
The other aspect of Modi's rule in India has been a widespread anti-Muslim campaign, right? Under the guise of protecting sacred Hindu cows, there have been lynch mobs aimed at Muslims in the country that have been essentially given a green light by Modi's government. All of that is something that Modi does face a lot of protest for within India as well, right? Unfortunately, we don't see as much media coverage of that here in the US, and we certainly don't see the US government noting how much opposition Modi faces for his anti-Muslim policies inside India, not just in Kashmir, but broadly speaking, India, right?
Yes. Yeah, we don't see people talking about that. We don't see coverage of that. And I think that that is part of the issue, is that, you know, when talking about Modi coming to Houston and drawing 50,000 attendees, and, you know, for example, Democrats, people who proclaim themselves to be progressive, attending the event, you know, there is not widespread political education about the things that Modi is doing in India. You know, I'm not going to say that everyone is just lacking knowledge, but I think that is an element of it. I think there are people who are supportive of this discrimination against religious minorities. And there are also people who definitely think of this as like, you know, think of this under the guise of multiculturalism, right? And that's something we really, really want to push back on, is, you know, we want the people who are walking into that stadium, the Democrats who are walking into that stadium, to know that they're co-signing fascism, they're co-signing this violence that has happened. And, you know, personally, as an Indian Christian, I'm disgusted by the fact that people are willing to overlook those atrocities and also speak about Islamophobia in America, you know, speak about Islamophobic rhetoric that the Republican Party or President Donald Trump is doing, but then turn a blind eye to what Modi is doing in India. I think it's very critical.
And actually, Christians in India are also facing similar sort of repression. My mother's family is Catholic, and there is fear in those communities within India of what Modi has unleashed. One of the things that is now a huge conversation in India is just the very notion of citizenship. Right. Recently, there were a very large number of Indians, although a small percentage of the entire Indian population, because we're talking about more than 1 billion people, a large actual number of people were declared stateless in India. And now Modi's government has promised to build concentration camps. Well, they're calling them detention camps for migrants. There are people born and raised in India who consider themselves Indians who might be declared migrants by the Modi government and put into concentration camps. He sounds like he's taking his cue from Trump.
Yes, I mean, he really does. And I think that, you know, pointing out that very clear line between what is happening on the border in the United States, all over the United States, and what's happening in India is very, very important, right? And like I said, like, this is where progressives attending the event supporting Modi, you know, we have in Tulsi Gabbard a Democratic presidential candidate who is very, very close ties, who is an extremist, right? So,
right, Tulsi Gabbard, an interesting person who's actually not Indian, she's Guamese, I believe, part, but she's Hindu and has been very cozy with the Modi government. And she's been very apologist about Modi's campaign in Kashmir.
Exactly. And so, you know, those are the things that we want to point out and make very clear, as I said before, because there's a direct line. There are two sides of the same coin, is the thing that I've been saying, because, you know, you can't turn a blind eye to one and, you know, be protesting the other or talking about the rhetoric of one but ignoring the other, which Tulsi does, and many others do as well. I think that this is, again, when we're talking about lack of political education, I think they see in the United States are hearing about these things, but it's not as widespread or as covered as it probably should be, especially considering Modi coming this week, coming on Sunday.
And in fact, a huge amount of financial and political support from Hindu Indians in the United States is something that Modi's government has counted on. There's a strong streak in South Asian communities, specifically Indian Hindu communities here in the United States, that uncritically supports the Modi government. Tulsi Gabbard is sort of part of that, again, even though she's not of Indian origin. It seems as though Modi has a project of Hindu supremacy in India in a similar way that Trump has a project of white supremacy in the United States.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're running into that issue of certain Hindu American groups definitely outright supporting Modi and his visit, and in general, funneling money into those projects and into maintaining this supremacy. We're running into this particularly right now with the Hindu American Foundation, to name a specific organization, that is definitely furthering the rhetoric of, you know, the protesters not representing Indians, that the protesters are, you know, for example, outright calling protesters Pakistani and Khalistani terrorists, like using that kind of very dangerous rhetoric, even today, Katie Hopkins, who is a renowned white supremacist across the world, is based in the UK, actually pointed out that they used the same rhetoric that the Hindu American Foundation was using. And that was very jarring to us. But, you know, I think it again shows that tight connection that, you know, these people are willing to endanger the lives of protesters in order to further that narrative of Hindu supremacy and, you know, really, really endanger us, you know, calling on ties to white supremacy across the world in order to do so.
So Modi and now his his friend on stage in Houston, Donald Trump, are expecting to speak and rally in front of 50,000 people this Sunday in Houston, Texas. What has your organization, Azad Austin, and your fellow social justice organizations planned specifically for Modi? What will the protests look like? I understand that you're organizing under the hashtag Stop Hindu Fascism.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we are partnered with other organizations, but we're also joining thousands of other protesters. And I want to make that clear because I think that there is this rhetoric that this is a small group of people that don't necessarily identify as Indian or whatnot. And I want to say that I'm Indian and I will be there. And we have many other Indians who are joining us. And we are expecting thousands of protesters who feel the same way as us. We're going to protest outside of the event as well as, you know, having support from, you know, there's a lot of like, you know, Kashmiri folks who are coming down. There's Indian Muslims who feel very, very strongly about this and just really disgusted by the fact that Modi is going to have 50,000 supporters in that stadium. We're doing our best to get to discourage people from going inside and, you know, just having like campaigns during this week about this week and, you know, the days leading up to the actual event about what Modi represents and what you're co-signing when you walk into that stadium. You know, we'll have widespread demonstrations the day of outside. And yeah, we're expecting thousands of people who feel similar to us. And we,
The event is going to be at Houston's NRG Stadium. The event is entitled Howdy Modi. Now, a few years ago, when Modi visited Silicon Valley, he faced a tremendous protest there as well. So there's certainly, you know, alongside that strong Hindu support for Modi's policy, there is a progressive counter a faction within the United States comprising of South Asians that has spoken up pretty strongly. I understand that among the groups that you will be protesting alongside include Texas queer Muslims as well. Can you tell me a little bit about that organization and how specifically Modi's homophobia plays out in India?
Yeah, so I mean, we are partnered with a lot of queer folks, specifically Texas queer Muslims and our other partnering group, Collective of Houston Asian Americans. And we did so on purpose because there is, again, Modi is responsible for so much violent homophobia. His supporters have, you know, really, really been violent towards queer and trans folks, both in India and then also here as well. And we wanted to make that space because, you know, there was a lot of people reaching out to us, you know, like, which protest do I go to? You know, we have a lot of queer folks in our organization and others as well. And we wanted to create that space because there are a lot of us who, you know, there's angers about our identities. You know, these are identities being attacked both in India and here. And we wanted to create space for that because, you know, there's so much violence that's happening under Modi. There's, you know, religious minorities that are being discriminated against. There's queer and trans folks that are being discriminated against. And we wanted to speak to that violence and specifically have a queer space because we wanted folks to be able to talk about that and be able to register their anger.
So I want to pivot to the actions of another, or I should say, the actions of another leader in North America in the news on the same at the same time that you and I have been talking about Modi's upcoming visit to Houston, Texas, has been Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau's ugly past coming to haunt him. Now, Justin Trudeau is a liberal prime minister who has prided himself on allying with South Asian groups in Canada. He has proudly donned Indian outfits, danced alongside, you know, Indian groups and at Indian events. And he was hailed when he first came to power as being this liberal, anti-racist prime minister who's going to be a friend to minorities. Now, it turns out, not that long ago, just a couple of decades ago, he was sporting what some people call brown face and others straight up say it was blackface at parties. And he has apologized for it, called it a dumb move. But what do you make of this? Because it's not just Western leaders like Trump that are so debilitating to the cause of racial justice, but white liberals like Trudeau, too.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I saw the news, I wish I could say I was surprised, if that makes sense. And I think that that's like to what you're speaking about, you know, anti-Black racism, anti-Blackness, racism as a whole is not just pervasive in, you know, Republicans or in conservative parties across the world. It is deeply foundational. It's systemic. It is rooted in the very origins of these countries that we're talking about. So it's not really that surprising to me when progressives are also complicit in those, you know, so-called progressives are complicit in that racism. Especially, you know, I think the thing that stuck out to me is I think there's this narrative of like, oh, this was in their past. This was a long time ago. There's a lot of people saying like, oh, that was high school. Like, and it really wasn't high school. He was a teacher at the time. And that's what
and it was in the 2000s, not in the 70s or 80s.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I'm 21 years old. I was born in 1998, right? I was 3 years old. This is my lifetime we're talking about, right? So to say that it's so far in the past, I think is unbelievable. In 2001, to say that you don't know that that is racist seems quite unbelievable to me. Mm-hmm. And that is what he said. He said that he didn't know it was racist at the time, which I think is just, you know, the idea that someone who could be called, for example, like you said, an anti-racist leader, a progressive leader, didn't know in 2001 that blackface and brownface was racist seems truly unbelievable. And the other thing that I'd point out and that I was thinking about personally is he was a teacher at the time. Right? Imagine being a brown student who sees your white teacher in brownface or in blackface. I mean, I think it's inexcusable. And I think that just apologizing is not enough. And I think that, you know, I think that that's why, honestly, we have to be wary of liberal leaders who, you know, claim to be progressive. Like, we need to, like, really evaluate, like, what it means to, like, attach the word progressive to somebody, but also talk about deeply systemic and deeply systemic anti-Black racism and how it pervades, is pervasive in all parties and not just in the conservative ones.
He's been prime minister for a while. It's shocking to me that these photos are just now emerging. In one photo, he wore dark brown makeup. He called it an Aladdin-themed party, so he was dressed as some sort of Arab and or South Asian, right? Because these cultures are often conflated. And in two other photos, he just straight up, it was blackface. He colored his skin black. He was wearing an Afro wig. And so not one, not two, but three instances, as far as we can tell, of Justin Trudeau, the white liberal so-called friend to minorities in Canada, engaging in this sort of behavior. Finally, I'm just wondering if you think overall we are seeing under leaders like Trump, Modi, Trudeau, etc., a growing, I don't want to use the word backlash, but counter faction, a counter weight to the racists among young people, especially young communities of color, expressing solidarity with one another, organizing across racial lines, religious and ethnic and national lines, to really change the narrative in our modern day world. I mean, we just we have to be seeing a new chapter unfolding, I hope.
Yes, I really truly believe that. I mean, I've lived in Texas my entire life. I've grown up in diverse communities. And, you know, I've also, you know, lived in a border state, right? And I think that that's one of the things that's really defined how I view things, because when, you know, when we're talking about deportation and ICE and, like, and abuse at the border and things like that, I see, like, communities of color as a whole standing up for the, you know, standing up against those things. I know South Asian folks who protest at detention centers. I see folks of all backgrounds, you know, organizing for so many different things in times like these. And I think that it's taught us that all of these struggles are intertwined, right? And, you know, just to bring it full circle, you know, like, I think that we see these deep ties between these leaders, and we want to show the deeply systemic things that bind them together. And, it, you know, for us, I don't, it's not about, at least the folks that I know and the, you know, the work that I do, for us, it's not about regime change. It's not about party change. It's about, like, deep change and, you know, changing policy, reorganizing institutions. And those are the things that are actually going to see change, because, you know, to, you know, and Trudeau is a progressive leader. Trump is conservative, you know, whether you're an avowed white supremacist or not, however you're labeled, you're still responsible and for so many things. And we want to see change that's not just, you know, voting people in and out of power, but like systemic change and changing institutions.
Finally, give out a website where people can find out more, or even social media links where people can find out more about the upcoming protest against Modi on Sunday in Houston, Texas.
Sure. You can find information about us at Azad Austin on Facebook, as well as there's other protests being organized around NRG Stadium. And there's also folks from, like, the Indian American Muslim Council as well, who are also doing organizing.
And we'll post a link to that Facebook page from our site. Sarah, good luck to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. My guest has been Sarah Phillips, organizer with Azad Austin, a South Asian social justice organization. We've been discussing Narendra Modi's visit to the U.S. this weekend. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.